This is Dick Barnes, and I'm sitting here today with Molly Sue Whipple. The date is June the 10th, 2006, and this is being recorded in Brownsburg. Molly Sue lives now at Sunnyside in Harrisonburg, Virginia, but she's back for a visit in Brownsburg, and we're going to ask her a few questions today about her experience having been such a long-time resident of Brownsburg. It's nice to have you here and back in Brownsburg, Molly Sue, and I do have a few questions I want to ask you for our history museum. The first one is, what is your first memory of Brownsburg? I know you've lived here a long time, but what are your first memories of coming to Brownsburg?
Well, I've lived in Rockridge County since at age 5, and when I was in high school, I played in sports, basketball and baseball, and Brownsburg was one of the teams we had to play. So we would come over here to play ball, and they would visit us in Brownsburg the next Goshen the next year. So that's how I got to know about Brownsburg.
Your first introduction to Brownsburg was sports.
Yeah.
Coming over and playing sports.
Playing ball.
Molly Sue, before you moved to Brownsburg, you lived in Goshen, is that right?
That's right.
And what brought you from Goshen to Brownsburg?
Well, to teach school.
What year was that?
1936. I applied to the school board for a job to teach school, and this was my first assignment, to come to Brownsburg to teach in 1936.
And you taught at it was then called the Brownsburg School?
Brownsburg Academy. And I had the first and second grade when I first arrived. But it was the first year of compulsory education, and they beat the bushes and brought them all in. And when they got through registering the first day of school, I had 64 students, ages 12 to 6. So they soon knew that that was an impossible situation. So they divided them and got another teacher to teach the second grade, and I kept the first grade.
Were there only two grades to start
no,
with?
No, high school had.
So you had 1 through 12?
1 through 12.
And you were the first grade teacher.
That's
in
right.
Brownsburg, 1936.
That's right.
And
and I taught there for 33 years.
And you also met somebody at school that had a great influence on your life too, did you not? And you ended up marrying him?
Yes, after I had taught 4 years, I think, then I met Fred. And I was thinking seriously then of moving somewhere else to teach. But I met Fred then, and we fell in love, and we got married in 1940. And I was married to him for 60-some years, almost 64 years.
Well, I remember Fred well, and of course, the rest of that is history. I mean, as you say, you lived in Brownsburg for over 60 years, and had a great experience with school, and of course, knowing everybody that lived in Brownsburg at the time, and even since you left teaching. What was Brownsburg like during the first years that you lived here? This was even before the paved roads, was it not?
The road right through Brownsburg was paved, but up to that point on each end was dirt. But it was an interesting village, to say the least. We had 5 stores, grocery stores, and on Saturday night, people didn't go to Lexington on Saturday night, they came to Brownsburg, and they brought butter and milk and things to barter at the stores, and you could hardly get a parking place up and down the street, and the men loafed in the stores and did the bartering, and the women visited in the cars. And the kids played up and down the street. And it went on till about 10 o'clock at night. And it was very interesting to watch.
So it was somewhat of a social event, and at the same time, they were getting their provisions for the next week, weren't they?
For the week, that's right.
And who owned the stores? Do you remember who the first owners were, say, at that particular time when you first came to Brownsburg?
This store belonged to the Whipples, but Mr. Suping ran the store. And
this is the one directly across the street from your home.
Yes.
And that catty-corner across the street from the museum.
Yeah. And in your home, your house, the Farm Bureau had a store. And the filling station had a store.
Now that's next door to, that's Mary Jane Burns.
That's right.
And Wood Burns' place.
And John Layton Weitzel had a store in his house. Mm-hmm. What is that? The Bosworth store,
mm-hmm.
which now...
That's next door to the P.G. and Susan Arnold, the old bank.
That's right.
Which has been converted, of course, into a home.
Mm-hmm.
That was next door to P.G. and Susan
mm-hmm.
Arnold. Well, it was, what about the churches, when you first moved here?
There was only the color church, the black church, Asbury Methodist. And all the citizens around and in the country went to New Providence.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only Presbyterian church in the area.
And, of course, we mentioned schools, and... of course, they had the Brownsburg Academy here at that point in time, and then the social events, of course, were pretty much a Saturday night kind of thing. Was there ever any organized social events in Brownsburg that you recall on 4th of July or any special occasions?
No.
People just created their own social events.
That's right.
Then when they came to town on Saturday night.
Everybody did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
I might add, for the schools, the Brownsburg Academy was up here at first, and it was for men only, young men of the area. And there was a school for young ladies down at the Moneymaker House. And
that's out on what we now know as Hayes Creek Road. Out here, the big red brick
right.
house, about
and
2 miles out of town here.
They had quite a wonderful course of study for the young men, because many of them went right from there into law school and to be doctors and whatnot. And that's another interesting thing about Brownsburg. They called the doctors just like they called the preachers of the Presbyterian Church. The community got together and put up the salary for the doctor to come, and they built a house, a brick house here on Main Street, for the doctor, with an office in it. And they would call a doctor from, usually from Richmond, from the medical school, and he would come and live there, and he was a country doctor. He would make calls out in the country at night. And that was an interesting thing. I would ride with him a lot and show him where people lived. And his wife and I were real good friends.
Now, what was his name?
Dr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Joseph Williams, and he moved from here then to Stanton, and Dr. Taylor came, and Dr. Taylor stayed a number of years, and he left here and went to Richmond, I think, and then we haven't had a doctor since.
Do I recall that somewhere I read there was a Dr. Campbell?
Yes.
At one point in time?
He was back early.
Mm-hmm.
He was, I think at one point in time, they had three or four doctors
mm-hmm.
here.
But that was long since.
Horse and buggy days.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. What do you think, in your memory, was the most interesting or outstanding event that ever happened in Brownsburg during your living here? Anything stand out in your mind that I remember since I've lived here? We had our 250th anniversary some years ago. But,
that's right.
Had a big crowd, a lot of people who came back
mm-hmm.
and all. But most of the social activities and all centered really around New Providence Church, I think. you know, and they had a lot of events and things like that that went on out there, because everybody was, for the most part, was a member out there.
Everybody in the area belonged to that church. Came in horses and buggies.
There had been a lot of other events that were not so good, that I guess we could, tragic events or bad events, anything come to mind that happened during the time that you lived here that were particularly not good events, or things that made an impression on Brownsburg that would come to mind?
Well, before I came, I mean, Brownsburg had many things to happen, many fights. Saturday night was famous for fights here. And Brownsburg had a murder. They have much shooting and going on. I just don't recall.
I had certainly heard of a story like that that was mentioned to me when I first moved here. And in fact, I think it was Dr. Campbell down here at Ag Patterson's house that took care of maybe some of those people that were shot during that Saturday night.
They had at the old academy, schooling upstairs was an auditorium, and that's where they held court. And this guy, Dr. Campbell's wife, was seeing another man, and Dr. Campbell took that up at court, and it just got kind of out of hand. And Dr. Campbell did the shooting, didn't he?
I'm not sure about that.
I'm not sure about that either. Mm-hmm. But anyway, someone was shot. Mm-hmm. And
that was tragic.
I just don't remember about that court scene, but they didn't have much court there afterwards.
I know that you have told me many stories about events that have happened in your life while living here, and tales, I guess we would call them. Do you recall any right offhand that you'd like to share with us?
When Mr. Supinger had a store here, he and this, before that, this lady came through Brownsburg, and she stopped up the street at the Swope House and started living there. And she was a Quaker lady, and they built a church, and she had church up there and lived there, and she took anybody that came in homeless that came through, she'd take them in to live. And she had many different residents up there living with her. And one night, one of them was here in the store, Mr. Supinger's store, and they got in an argument about something. Anyway, they decided to take their fight out in the street. And Mr. Supinger had this big butcher knife that he'd been cutting cheese, so he carried the knife with him. And this other guy didn't have any weapon at all, so he went out there and was picking up rocks. Mr. Supinger said, "Uh-huh, you dirty coward, you want to fight with rocks." And Mr. Supinger was standing there with this big butcher knife to carve him up. And right down the street lived this little old lady, and with a little girl, a young lady that she had taken in to live with her. So she said, "Mary Stewart, run up there and see who that is fighting." So Mary Stewart ran up here to fight, and she ran back down and said, "Grandma, it's one of those damn preachers from up at Mother Morris's fighting Mr. Supinger."
Your experiences at the Brownsburg Academy. Do you have anything you want to share with us, Molly Sue, concerning any particular events that happened there?
Yes, while I was teaching, most of the students came in on school buses. They lived out in the rural areas. And I had this one family that lived up on top of the mountain. They had walked down to the bus and then ride about, how far is it from McCray's store in here? I would say 8 or 10 miles. And so I was having a program one night, and my main characters lived up on the mountain. And the school bus went up on, and the other children that lived on that road came, but this one child didn't come. And I questioned where he was, and some of the people on the bus said, well, he had to jump a creek. Coming down the mountain, he had to jump the creek. And when he jumped the creek, he jumped right on a stump. So he had to go back home. He couldn't come. And another day, I had two little boys that came in, and you could smell them long before they got there. They'd been out skunk hunting, and they were just awful. So I told them I couldn't let them stay in the room. The children were having a fit. So they'd have to sit out in the hall, and I'd give them their lessons out there. And I went out to check on them, and they disappeared. So I just didn't know what to do, and I started inquiring around anybody had seen them, and somebody said, yeah, they said they were going home. And I was horrified because they had to walk about 8 miles home. And I got the principal, and she got in the car and started driving, trying to find them. But they'd gotten all the way home before she found them.
You mentioned the principal. What was the principal's name that...
Miss Tremor, O.C. Tremor. And she ran the school more like a military concern. She just, I mean, she had strict, strict discipline. Nobody dared cross Miss Tremor.
And there was a lady that I've heard several people mention that lives down, lived down where the post office is now. And I think she had had one leg, and that she had a wooden leg or something.
That's right.
Who was that?
Miss Pett. And Miss Pett would come out on that porch and prop that stump up on the railing and stand leaning on her crutch and talk for hours. She had a real loud voice. And right across the street was the doctor's office. And sometimes he would be away. He'd go to Roanoke on weekends, and he hadn't come back. So Miss Pett would tell everybody that would come to see the doctor where he was, and he wasn't there, and he wasn't coming in. And so one day he came across the street, she was on the porch, and he got his checkbook out, and he said, Miss Pett, I want to pay you. Oh, she said, Dr. Bailey, you don't owe me a thing. And he said, oh, yes, I do too. I owe you for taking care of my business all the time, and I want to pay you.
Taking care of his business. And the person that lived where Dick Anderson lives now, that had there was a hospital in the back of that. The little log building still exists there. Wasn't that a hospital at one time here in Brownsburg?
This little lady I was telling you about a while ago had a hospital there when she lived there. The little...
It's a little log cabin
that's
still out in the back. It's been restored.
Yes, and she would take in people sick and nurse them until they'd get well.
And that was where she did a lot of the nursing whatever was little log cabin
and
out back.
She preached to them along while she's bringing them back to health.
Molly Sue, when I moved here some 20 years ago, one of the things that struck me as being very interesting about Brownsburg was the integrated community, which appeared to have been here for a long, long time. Was this the case? Has it always been an integrated community with of the blacks and the whites?
Yes. When I came here to live, that surprised me too, because in Goshen, the blacks all lived in one section, the whites in another. But here, you'd find every other house was black and every other house white. And we got along beautifully. And at church also, they built a balcony at our old church. And the slaves all sat up in the balcony. And we've all had such a nice class of blacks here. And they still have a very active church here, a Methodist church, that's in the village.
I know, Molly Sue, you've seen many changes take place in Brownsburg over the years. Would you like to share any of those changes with us?
Yes. We had 5 stores at one time, and now we have no stores at all. You can't even buy Coca-Cola in Brownsburg. And also we have a nice antique shop. We never had an antique shop before, and now we have a nice antique shop. We still have a post office, which is very old and heated with a fireplace. And people enjoy going for the mail in wintertime and backing up to that fireplace because there's always a fire there.
Wasn't Mr. Whipple, Fred Whipple, very involved in the formation of the first bank here, the Bank of Brownsburg?
Yes, Fred's father was. The first.
Now he was David.
David
Whipple.
And the first bank was in this very building we're in, this museum, and the citizens got together and decided they need to build a bank and have a real bank. So they organized and they put up money to build the bank across the street, the Stucco Bank.
What year would that have been, do you think? Early 1900s?
Yeah, I'm sure it had to be back that time. And also, when they built the bank, they built upstairs in this building we're in, had a telephone exchange in it upstairs. So when they built the bank, they built the telephone exchange office upstairs in the bank, and it stayed there till they sold the bank.
And the bank closed in 1999, I think, you're after several mergers with other banks, and but it closed, as I recall, in 1999.
I think it was. I have another story to tell you. This family lived down here along the creek, and their house burned down. And they ordered one from Sears Roebuck. And the house came and they built it up down there. And they had a lot of children. And one little boy, this was during the Depression, they called him Herbert Hoover. And Herbert Hoover was down playing along that creek one day. And it was up, then raining, it was high. And he fell in and he washed through the culvert under the road, and the rest of the big kids ran across on the other side and fished him out when he came through. I thought that was a funny story.
Molly Sue, it was your idea that prompted the creation of the Brownsburg Christmas Tour of Homes. Many successful tours have been held, raising funds for community improvement. And now the largest undertaking of the Brownsburg Community Association is the creation of the Brownsburg Museum. Your willingness to give us a long-term lease on the property next door to your home is sincerely and deeply appreciated. I assume the museum idea pleases you.
Oh, I'm so pleased with the idea of coming, and I'm happy with the way it is coming together and has brought the community together. I can't wait for it to be finished and really see what's there. That's a nice little house, and it was just empty and falling down. I didn't want to put a lot of money in it, and it's just the right size. I'm just delighted to have it for the museum.